John chapter 3, John chapter 3, as we continue our new study, Go and Make Disciples. John chapter 3, I know is at least part of it, is familiar to all of you, and we hope to glean some truths from this passage of Scripture that will help us to be better witnesses, more faithful witnesses for Jesus, to help to make disciples. And most of you are familiar with this passage, but Nicodemus would become a secret disciple of Jesus. Our goal is to have faithful, committed, open followers of Christ. No secrets here, but we know Jesus. He knows us. We love him. We follow him, and we're faithful, bold witnesses for him. That's what we're striving for. And so let's stand together, if you're able. John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 to begin. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, as we come before your throne of grace, we ask for wisdom. We ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth, to teach us. Lord, help us to make straight cuts, Lord, to rightly divide the Word of God, that we can apply it faithfully. Lord, help us by your Spirit. We're nothing without you. And Father, I pray that if anyone hearing this message has never been born again, that even tonight they would repent of their sin and unbelief, that they would trust with all their heart in Christ and be born again. Please help us to be faithful followers. Help us to be faithful witnesses. Help us to be disciples, making disciples for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. As we go through these passages of Scripture over the next several months, several weeks, the goal is to look to the Scriptures to find by commandment and example how we can be better witnesses. And obviously, following the example of Jesus is the best example. And we saw in chapter 1 how he would say, come and see and follow me. We saw how those early disciples did the same thing. They said, come and see. And they came to Jesus. When the people came to Jesus, he said, follow me. Now, I want you to notice in verses 1 and 2, the man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Most of you are probably familiar with him, just at least a little bit. But this was a Pharisee. He was of the religious elite, of the Jewish leaders. He knew the Scriptures. He was the teacher of Israel, a ruler of the Jews, and he came to Jesus by night. Now, when he asked the question, we see other Pharisees, other Jews ask similar questions to Jesus, and the Scriptures explain to us that those questions were asked in a public setting around the multitudes in order to find some reason to accuse Jesus. But it seems that Nicodemus wasn't asking this question to find some way to entrap Jesus. It seems that he was asking this question sincerely. Why? There wasn't a bunch of other people around. There wasn't anybody around to try to trip him up, try to find him in some fault. He came to Jesus by night. That says a lot too. Now listen, he came to him afraid of what the other Pharisees, of what the Jews would think, if they knew he was going to Jesus asking him sincere questions. He didn't want to be found out, because there are risks involved with following Jesus. Some of us have talked a lot lately about the implications of following Jesus. What do we mean? It means that when you follow Jesus, it demands some things to follow Jesus. It demands that you put your hands to the plow and you don't look back. It demands that your friends are going to change. That happens naturally. The closer you get to Jesus, the farther you're going to get away from certain people that have had an influence in your life. And they're going to wonder what's wrong with you. They're going to wonder why you're not running with them to the same excess of riot. Like, where are you at? You know, why haven't you been hanging with us anymore? And it's going to cost you some things to follow Jesus. But being a real disciple of Jesus demands loving him and following him and being committed to him above everything else. To the degree that your love for him in comparison would seem that you hate everyone else, that you're willing to reject everyone else, even your own life, so that you can follow Christ. I want you to notice that when Jesus is when he comes to Jesus, Jesus isn't surprised. Nothing ever surprised Jesus. You and I, we get surprised all the time. Have you ever had an unexpected visitor? I don't mean like you found a snake in the garage. I mean like an actual person. Jesus wasn't surprised by this, but just thinking about this and trying to think of some practical things that we can apply, it reminded me that we need to always be ready. You know, we go out on Sundays intentionally. We get a group of people. We go out intentionally. We know what we're doing when we come together on a Sunday afternoon or any other time we would come together to go out. We know we're going with the intention of trying to share the gospel with people, but we need to be always ready. It doesn't just mean on an organized soul-winning outreach. It means that everywhere you go, that whatever's going on, you need to be aware that there are opportunities always, and it may be when you least expect it. And by the way, it often is. When you're not prepared, you're not ready, you're not looking for it, you'll find yourself in the middle of a conversation, and all of the sudden, the things of God have been brought up, and you may not even be paying attention, but God has given you an opportunity, and so we have to always be ready. You remember that, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. He says, "But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation or your lifestyle in Christ." In other words, when we follow Jesus, there's going to be persecutions, there's going to be sufferings, but when we live the right kind of life in a testimony, we can have the right kind of words in a testimony, we can be faithful witnesses of Jesus, and we're to be always ready to be witnesses. Now let's look at verse 3 in our text. "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." So Jesus, from this example, we learn to always be ready. And can I say number two, we ought to learn to aim for the heart. Always aim for the heart. Now consider this, Jesus knows what's in the heart of every man. You and I can be caught off guard. We can have these opportunities when we least expect it. But Jesus always expected it. And Jesus always knew how to address the issue that they were dealing with the most. I want you to consider for a second a couple of examples in the Bible. You remember the rich young ruler that came to Jesus. And he said, "What must I do to have eternal life? What must I do? What good thing must I do?" And Jesus, dealing with him, he said to him at one point, he said, "If you want to be perfect, if you want to be complete, go and sell everything you have and give to the poor and come and follow me." And you remember that young man went away sad. He went away sorrowful because he had much good. See, Jesus knew the issue that he had in his heart. And he dealt with that issue. Remember when Jesus was at the well and the Samaritan woman came and he began to talk to her about living water. You remember that. And as they had this conversation, at one point Jesus says, "Go and call your husband." Well, why? Because he knew. He knew she'd have five, and the fellow she was living with now wasn't her husband. He knew what the issue of her heart was. Now, you and I, we may not know the hearts of men, but the more you witness to people, the more you talk to people, the more you listen to people when you're talking to them, God can give you a spirit of wisdom and discernment to know how best to address this person with the gospel. I believe that's what Jude is calling us to do. Jude verses 20 and 23 says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, at the end of verse 22, I want you to notice that phrase, making a difference. That phrase, making a difference, it's not the way we use it today. Go and make a difference in the world. It literally means to use discernment, to discern, to know whether the person you're talking to is broken and they need compassion, or whether they're prideful and they need the law. You've heard it said before, grace to the humble, law to the proud. And we have to have some discernment and some wisdom in knowing how to talk to somebody. Well, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he knew exactly what Nicodemus needed to hear, and he aimed for the heart. And that's what you and I have to do. So many times when we talk to somebody, we want to get into an intellectual debate with them. So many times somebody has all these questions, and some of you have studied apologetics, and you want to have all the answers, and if you're not really careful, you get into an intellectual debate, and all you're trying to do is win an argument. Well, we're not trying to win an argument. We're trying to preach the gospel. We're trying to bring them to Christ, so we want to get around the intellect. We want to go to the conscience. We want to go to the heart of the issue. And at the heart of the issue, remember, Nicodemus was a teacher of the law. He had been entrenched in a system that believed that by keeping the law, they were righteous before God. He was entrenched in a system that believed that because they were the descendants of Abraham, he was already good with God. And Jesus was going to bring him to the heart of the issue. It's not the keeping of the law that's going to cleanse you. You have to have faith to be born again. You must be born again to enter into the kingdom. And that comes by believing. By believing in the Son of Man who would be lifted up. Now, I don't have time to dig much deeper into all this, but let me share one more passage with you before we break up into our groups. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 18 through 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Jesus would always be ready. He would aim for the heart, and he would appeal to the Scriptures. In the rest of this passage, you're going to see he's going to tell Nicodemus that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He would point him to the Word of God, and it's through faith in the Word of God that you have been born again. And that's the way anybody's going to be born again. So we have to aim for the heart, and we do that by using the Word of God to bring the conviction of the Holy Spirit to bring them to a place of repentance and faith. Amen. Amen. I want to ask you to go to the Lord with me in prayer for just a second, and then in just a minute, we're going to dismiss to our groups.